They're just, well, not all the churches I was raised in were that way, but I was raised in missionary Baptist churches, and some of them tended to be a little legalistic. And I think that was one of the problems the church had at the very first church mentioned in the book of Revelation at Ephesus. But that's kind of neither here nor there. When I came here, I underestimated the degree of God's grace. God's grace was much greater than I thought it was. Oh, I believed in salvation by grace. I believed you couldn't lose your salvation. I believed you needed that both baptism and keeping the two ordinances of the church, I believed they were, those two things were sacraments. They didn't add to salvation. They were just obedience to the Lord. And sure enough, that turned out to be correct. But the main reason I went back to the seminary in Little Rock is because God led me there. I wanted to learn the languages, the original languages in the Bible. And I wanted to see what the Bible really said. And I didn't want it to be based on what my grandfather and my grandmother taught me. They taught me correctly, incidentally. And I didn't want it to be based on what anybody taught me except the Lord. And I wanted to know what His Word of God said. Now, salvation has always been given by God's grace. A lot of people think that people in other churches that aren't missionary Baptists, not a lot of people, maybe they're not saved. Well, some of them are, some of them aren't. Well, you say, that's true in missionary Baptist churches. Oh, you're right, it is. Some of them are saved, some of them aren't. But I don't have the ability that some, say, New Lighters have to look in a person's eyes and tell whether they're saved or not. Now, salvation has always been given by God's grace, this is message number one, appropriate for what we now face in the final days. Don't draw back from walking by faith in the seed. Don't do it. Don't draw back from it. You say, oh, I'll go to hell. No, you won't go to hell. But just don't draw back from it, because that determines the degree of the inheritance that Christ has waiting for you in heaven, which is classified as your reward. Obedience determines after you're saved. You can't be obedient until you are saved. But once you are saved, and there are people saved in Pentecostal churches and Free Will Baptist churches and some churches like Jehovah's Witness, I don't think they're saved in that church, but that's neither here nor there. But a lot of churches that came out at the Catholic Church, at the Protestant Reformation, a lot of them have saved people in them. They just have their doctrine all shifted around, and they don't teach the right thing that a person's supposed to do after salvation. That's just the truth. Well, you're never going to find out until you investigate what I've said. Don't draw back from walking by faith in the seed of Genesis 3:15. Grace has always been by calling upon God's seed. Go back and look in the fourth chapter of Genesis and see if it doesn't say, then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. But as you walk by faith, you will suffer persecution. If you finally find the right church, I guarantee you that church is going to be persecuted. I promise you. But as you walk by faith, you will suffer persecution. I knew that before God called me. And sure enough, it's just like He said. I never got much persecution as a child of God until I started preaching His Word. And then it came in buckets. And after a while, God has kind of settled me down as He said He would through the writings of Peter. And I've just learned to take a little more than I could when I first came into our work. Second, believers have been made aware to expect rejection. Do not expect, after you have received Christ as your Savior and you start to follow Him, do not expect, I won't be rejected. And don't lift up your hand and say, Lord, I will follow You to death. Don't do that. You're going to suffer it. Don't ask Him to relieve you of what His plan is for you. The word let in the book of Hebrews is the key word to the whole thing. It's throughout the whole thing. Let God teach you what he wants you to do and how he wants you to act, and then go ahead and do it. And if you're persecuted for it, do what Esther did. She said, if I perish, I perish. Don't run away from it. You say, well, why can't I run away from it? Well, because after pastoring here for some 42 years, I've watched people run away from it all my life. I watched people run away from it when I was a young man in our churches after I was saved. I didn't understand it, but I do now. And now I understand it, and so I expect persecution. I expect rejection. I just accept it. You say, well, how do you do that? Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I was saved by repenting toward God, putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been walking along that journey ever since, and he's taught me an awful lot. And if he hadn't taught me, I could never have figured it out for myself. Now, we're in the last days. I know it. I'm certain of it. And I'm finally getting it down to where I'm narrowing it down to a relatively short period of time. I didn't do that for years. I said, I don't know the day, the week, the month, or the year he's coming. I still don't. But I said, I know it's drawing near. Well, let me tell you what. It is flat on our doorstep, and the back hinge is about to come off the back door. 2 Timothy 3, 1, then verses 12, 13. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. If you can't watch television or go to a big meeting of people somewhere and watch their dislike for one another and watch all the arguments that they're having, then I don't know when you would think it will arrive. It is here, and it's going to get worse. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say may. I expect persecution. I expect persecution for this church. I expect we've been receiving it for some time. I know missionary Baptist churches have been receiving it ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And I didn't understand why. But when God called me to preach, now I understand. You say, do you like it? No, I don't like it. I love it because it lets me know I'm in the right church. It lets me know I'm pastoring a church that teaches the truth. A lot of churches that don't teach the truth, they're not suffering any persecution. They're not doing the devil any harm whatsoever. Hopefully, neither are we. Now, in Hebrews 10:25, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If all the people that had joined missionary Baptist churches and were still alive would all come back to their churches on the next Sunday, we'd have to build an elastic church building that would stretch for several blocks. They left. Well, why did you wait so long to serve the Lord? You think I wanted persecution when I was 12 years old? I say when I was 12 years old. You said, I wanted persecution at 12 year old? What are you, crazy? I had too much life to live. You say, well, do you think you wanted persecution when you surrendered to preach at age 38? Are you crazy? No, I didn't want persecution. You say, well, didn't you understand this? Not in the way I'm explaining it. I just thought, God will make sure that everything is just fine. Well, I didn't understand God's definition of fine. And I realized that after I'd been through two wars and had people shooting at me, I didn't know what trouble was till I started serving God in a missionary Baptist church. I thought once you got saved and scripturally baptized and understood that the two church ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper were not what you call sacraments added to salvation, but were ordinances. So what happened? I thought, good Lord. The first time we had trouble in this church here, I was the last one that knew it. That was a long time ago. Next time we had it, I was the last one in the church that knew it. The last time we had it, I was the last one in the church that knew it. You say, well, shouldn't you have expected that? I shortchanged God and underrated Satan's what I did. Because once Satan gets in a church, listen, Satan is so much smarter than I am, so much wiser than I am. I have to rely on God to straighten out everything. I have to. You say, how did you know that? I learned it from God. You say, well, are you going to quit now? No. Now I know the truth. You'd be amazed how many preachers never get past jumping from church to church, church to church, church to church, church to church, while using up their 2 year, 3 years outlines. Some of them are run off. You know what I think of the ones that are run off? Thumbs up. I've known more good preachers run off from missionary Baptist churches than I can count. But I know a lot more that left because they didn't have the courage to stay and face trouble. I've told you why I like the trustees so much. They don't run. They don't run. And so I've learned some things from them. I don't run either. And I should have learned that faster than they did. Two wars should have taught me. If you run, you'll get shot in the back. Same thing's true in missionary Baptist churches. So here we are in the last days, and here you are sitting here, and here I am up here preaching, and I love you. I honestly love you. So what am I preaching about this morning? Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What do you think of people that leave? Well, I don't think what I'm about to quote are all of them. Some of them need to lead, and maybe I'm the reason they left. I'm not that foolish. But you know, there's one thing the Bible says that's ironclad. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would had no doubt have continued with us. You said, do you believe that of all people that switch missionary Baptist churches? No, I don't. You say, well, why not? I just don't pay attention to it. And I don't accept personal. Somebody makes a personal insult against me, I just, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't try to stir up trouble, and I don't. And the truth of the matter is, who taught me that? God. I'm still here. Where are all the people that used to be in our church role and aren't here now? The prophesied, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I guarantee you the day's approaching. It's so close you could almost breathe it. And I see it approaching. Don't let anything stop you from going to a scriptural church. If you get mad here or irritated at me personally or at anybody else, it's a personal offense toward them. And the truth of the matter is, go somewhere else. I've preached that for over 40 years here. Go somewhere else. And I've done that for a good reason. If you're not happy here, don't come down here and be miserable and worship. You'll just be so miserable you're coming down here, you never will learn anything. Go to a church of like faith and order, for Pete's sake, whoever Pete is, and stay there and find happiness there. But I have discovered that most of the people that have left this church never found happiness at the church where they went to. You say, all of them? No, most of them. But why should I encourage you to stay here when you're happy? When you're unhappy? If you're unhappy, you sit there miserable. And your animosity just builds up more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And finally, whoop, it explodes. You say, well, you can't say that. I just said it. And I just told you why. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had continued with us, they would have continued with us. You say, who are you referring that to? anybody that goes to another church of like faith and order that doesn't like it where they are. So why shouldn't I tell you that? It makes me happier, and it makes the church happier, and it makes the church you go to happier. That's the way it is. Now, this great falling away by failing to assemble together as a local visible church has been occurring for some time. And the process will continue to accelerate until Seal 6 opens in Revelation. I expect a massive return to local churches during Seal 6. A lot of churches have left here and gone to Southern Baptist churches. If they practice open communion, we don't send them a letter. And if those people want to join on a statement down there, that's between them and the Lord. That's the way this church operates. Well, where is Seal 6? Well, we're in Seal 5 right now in Revelation, I guarantee you. You're seeing bloodshed starting all over the world. You're seeing the heads chopped off. What happens on Seal 6? Whammo! The Antichrist attacks Israel. It says so in Daniel 11, verses 1 and 2. It says the king of the south, Israel, does attack the Antichrist. Not Bashar Assad. He's gone. He's toast. He's finished. They're going to replace him over there. Make no mistake about it. And whoever rises up in his place will have a temporary period of, they'll say, I'm Mr. Nice Guy now. We're going to settle down over here and we'll just have a little bit of peace. And then all of a sudden they'll start acting up and you can tell they're lying. And so Israel's going to attack them. You say, well, why are you telling us this? I want you to know that when it starts to happening, this is what the Bible said was going to happen. And it's about to happen. He said, now let's take a look at Seal 6. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The rapture is not going to occur at the first of the week. It's not going to occur at the first of the week. It will not happen at the first of the week. There will still be saved people until trumpet 7 sounds. Look at what it said. Open the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The man came as blood. Listen, that's going to start happening within the next 5-6 years. I guarantee it. This thing's going to be opened because we're already in Seal 6. And here's why I know there will still be saved people on the earth till trumpet 7 sounds. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Well, that's going on, and Peter is preaching there, and he's telling you what's going to happen. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the same thing is going on right there. They're saved people here. Yet when the rapture occurs, well, all the saved are going to be taken out. And it's going to occur on the seventh trumpet. You better gird up your loins, as they say in the Bible, which means to tighten your belt so you can run with your skirt on, because the men wore skirts back then. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's take a look at Revelation 11:15. And just follow the reasonable of this. God is not unreasonable. And he told people, do you know I don't know of anybody, any publication before the actual rise of the what they call the evangelical urge occurred. I don't know of anybody before 1740 that believed the rapture would occur at the first of the week. They were all either seventh trumpet or last of the week. And I've got to answer to God for what I just said. So I'm not worried. You think he would hide that from people all these years? No, the evangelicals brought it on. Who are the evangelicals? They're those fellows you see on television all the time. They want to get in your pocketbook or your back pocket. They're about as spiritual as a toad frog. And you don't need that. He says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. Now notice this. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Okay, they all go up. The kings of this world have become the kings of our Lord. He shall reign forever and ever. They all grow up. They all go up. It's the seventh trumpet. Who's left down here on the earth? The lost. Well, who are the lost? Look two verses below it. He says, and the nations were angry. I reckon so. They're left down here. And thy wrath is come. He's not going to put his wrath on his children. He says so several times in the Bible. And the time of the dead. You've got to resurrect a dead man to judge him. And what do you think the first resurrection is? What do you think the rapture is? It's the time of the dead. That's when all the people before us, like our grandparents who believed in the Lord, they're all there in heaven waiting to come back, and they're going to get their glorified bodies. And we're going to be resurrected from the dead if we're in the grave and changed instantly while we're here. That's the fact. Well, what time is that they should be judged? You got to resurrect them to judge them, haven't you? You can't judge a dead man. You got to resurrect somebody that's been resurrected. That thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets. You know all those prophets that were persecuted, all those prophets that were misused, all those prophets that went that way? They're going to be rewarded. What happened to them? Oh, they were strewn all over the place. Heads cut off. Lord knows what else. To thy servants the prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Did you know that word destroy that is used there is the same word twice? But do you know that word can mean to destroy morally or to destroy, boom, boom, destruction, war? I think it means both. Why? Because the translators of the King James translation over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, translated that as immoral. And that's who these people are. They are responsible for the destruction of the earth because they're immoral. They're not taken. They're not saved. They're lost. And they're all down here. Although most believe that Paul wrote the apostle to the Hebrews, and some have offered that they considered that to be proof of his authorship, that is not the purpose of this exposition. So I will leave the writer to antiquity. Now, I'm going to talk about a local, visible church. Some believe it was written to an assembly of Hebrews somewhere along the coast of northeastern Africa. I believe that. Probably Alexandria. And I adhere to this idea. I know it was written to a group of Hebrews who had been the practicing of assembling regularly, but had already undergone one period of persecution from the Jewish brethren in the flesh for accepting Christ as the promised Messiah, and were expecting a second time of serious affliction when the epistle was written. I am persuaded they were a local, visible church. That's what we are. You can feel us. You can touch us. You want me to show you my soul? I can't do it. You want me to show you my spirit, saved spirit? I can't do it. It's invisible. He's in me, inside me. You want to feel my flesh? It's real. It's genuine. You want to feel Jesus' flesh? It was real. It was genuine. Well, what was the difference between my flesh and Jesus' flesh? His was sinless. Because God formed himself in Mary's womb and came forth sinless in both the flesh and both the spirit. Sinless in every way. And he took my sins in his own body on the tree. And that's what I've been trying to teach here for 40 years. He said, it is apparent that the church was undergoing persecution on a grand scale by their unbelieving brethren in the Hebrew community and inside the church by fellow church members that were attempting to add certain elements of the law to Christ after salvation as being necessary to maintain it. The Hebrew community society did not have assistance services provided by the government, such as Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, unemployment benefits, or welfare. When a Hebrew made a profession of faith in Christ as Messiah, in the vast majority of cases, he or she was quickly disowned by the family and forfeited their inheritance or any type of family assistance, which was the way of Hebrew culture. That is, when you grow old or disabled, your family took care of you. You had to give up a lot. You don't have to give up a lot. I think a lot of this stuff that's been passed off on American society, I think that strengthens you up not to trust the Lord. Because you got it made. Well, I got it made. I get a retirement check from the government. And I also Social Security. I'm retired from the military. So you can see I'm not starving to death, and this is a nice, pretty thing, isn't it? This is expensive. Woo. I would never have bought it, but Terry bought it. I would never have bought myself anything, but Imogene bought it. So now I hear it look like a sugar plate up here telling you to live for Jesus and, you know, not be interested in mammon. Well, if I'm not interested in mammon, why did I try to get a little curl up here now to be attractive to women? You say, oh, brother, we don't want you as pastor. You want somebody to tell you a lie and walk around carrying a Bible like this that'll look holy as holy, but won't tell you the truth about themselves. That's what you want. He says, the keynote verses of the entire epistle are found in the 10th chapter, and gross misinterpretation is likely if the interpretation of the entire epistle is based on what is revealed in Hebrews 10, 32 to 37. Get ready. I was taught the people in the 6th chapter of Hebrews were lost people. I was taught that, and I believed it, and I was taught it by many missionary Baptist preachers when I was growing up. I don't blame them. They didn't know any better. Because the commentators out of the evangelical movement had convinced people all those people in there were lost, and they aren't. We undercut God's grace. Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions. Here is illuminated. What does that mean? The light shined in. This little light of mine. This little light of mine. Do you know what God is? He's light. He's enlightenment. That's what God's Spirit is. He says, he endured a great fight of afflictions. So why are missionary Baptist churches so shocked when they have trouble? And why do members run for cover whenever it occurs? Why does everybody say, I'm not going to go over there and put up with that? Why do they do that? They don't have any spiritual courage. That's why. They don't have any spiritual courage. I'm still here. Nobody's ever accused me to my face. Why? Why? If you're going to stay in this church, you're going to suffer persecution. If you don't want to put up with it, you're going to suffer it. I might as well be honest with you. You say, well, what kind of persecution? Oh, little things. Things that touch your soul and make you wonder if you're doing the right thing. Being miserable and worried because you're sure or not sure you're doing the right thing. That's what will happen to you. I guarantee it. I'm as free as a bird. Yes, I have a carnal nature. When I'm in fellowship with God, believe me, when I'm not, I know it. But I've been in fellowship pretty good with God over the last few months. He says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Okay, those of you who have been here long enough, you know we've fought fights of affliction before. You know what I call the area down there around where you came from? The Bermuda Triangle. Many preachers wander in there and never wander out again. Listen, some of those churches down there have fought like cats and dogs. The place where I came from, up around Batesville, they fought like cats and dogs. When they didn't like the preacher, they'd go out and excrete their human waste matter on the front seat of his car. You say, that's awful. I know one of them there in a county, I forget the name of the county, but they carried guns to church at business meetings on one of them. Listen, you say, I'm not trying to present missionary Baptists as perfect, wonderful, loving, kind, gentle people. I came up here trying to do that, and after a while I said, hey, the Bible tells me about this. Why am I so concerned about it? You say, well, why are you concerned about it? I'm not concerned about it. You say, well, what are you telling us that? You don't need to be concerned about it either. Be concerned about your own relationship with God and don't be concerned about the rest of it. God will take care of it. Where's your faith in God? He says, after they were illuminated, had put their faith for salvation in Christ, they began to undergo a great fight of affliction from their own families. They endured through it. They were going through a second round of affliction, probably from within and without, and the primary purpose of the epistle to the Hebrews was to urge them to keep on keeping on. For 40 years, I'm going to lose my voice here. For 40 years, I have told you, keep on keeping on. Don't pay attention to what takes this off of you. That was Martha's problem. She was concerned because her sister Mary was more interested in the Word of God than helping her out in the kitchen. And we don't need that in a church. Martha was just as saved as her sister Mary was. But they endured through it. They were going through a second round of affliction, probably from within and without, when the epistle to the Hebrews was written. And the primary purpose of the epistle to the Hebrews was to urge them to keep on keeping on, because they would come through this, and any other affliction by the same power of Christ had led them through the first trial, the first time of trial. Remember the last one we went through years ago? What happened? What happened? We're still here. And you say, well, doesn't that bother you? No. Because you think the devil's going to persecute a church that's doing his will? I think so. You say, well, you mean God lets him do that? What in a Sam Hill would God reward us for if we didn't put up a fight by turning to God and letting him deliver us? That's what it's all about. And I'm a seventh generation missionary Baptist, sixth or seventh. And so I know this. He said, partly while you were made a grazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. Oh, haven't you recognized that in the years we've been here? Those of you that have been here a long time, haven't you understood that we are made a grazing stock by reproaches and afflictions? Don't you realize that's what's supposed to come? Where's your spiritual courage? Where's your spiritual fortitude? It's in your God, and there's only one, and his name is Jesus. And partly while you became companions of them that were so used. You know what draws a church together? When you're all in the same boat and you're all realizing what's happening, and when it happens, you don't have to worry about trouble in the church, because when somebody comes to you and starts telling you something about somebody else, you just let it go in one ear and out the other. You say, well, I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to follow the Word of God. And he's warned you and told you you're going to be reproached. Do you think we're going to sit here believing what we believe and actually loving God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth? You think we're going to sit here and the devil's going to let us get away with that? Well, you may say, well, God ought to protect us. Baloney, what do he reward you for? So you just sit and wait and see what happens, and it happens. There were two elements in their previous affliction. Many of them had their material possessions consumed, like the grass eaten by sheep or the wool sheared off of them, both by constant verbal abuse and direct actions against their physical person. That's what happened in the church at Hebrews. That's what happened down in the Bermuda Triangle. That's what happens in all missionary Baptist churches. Get used to it. Develop some spiritual courage. Develop some spiritual guts. Pardon me for the use of that word. But start really at realizing you're not in a child's game. And those, he said, and directly actions by their physical person. And those who were not directly afflicted by immediate family or relatives had been in tune to the suffering of those who did, because they were companions in the work of Christ. Church members are in the same local boat, and when one suffers, all suffer. The church was suffering when the Lord warned the first church, which was composed entirely of Hebrews, that it would suffer in the future for him. Now, what do you think this is? A boat ride? Do you think this thing we're in is for children? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm not a child anymore. Am I mature in the faith? No. But I'm still learning how to be more mature than I am. Some people stop doing that. What do? They start looking down their long, pointed spiritual nose at other people. It's been that way in these churches ever since I was a kid, and it's been that way in the churches all the way back.
when the church was first organized. Matthew 10, 34 through 38. Written to the church members, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be that his own household. I've lived that. I know what it's like. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Do you love the body of Christ, the local church, more than you love your father and your mother? I do. They're dead now. But I loved them more than when they were here. And I had a wonderful mother. Why? Because I want to be worthy of him. You say, well, you just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to be worthy of him. No, I ask him to help me all the time. And he that loveth son or daughter is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Listen. How many of you would take your cross and follow him? How many people run away from churches when there's trouble or trial in them? Wonder if they'd pick up the cross. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And whether one member suffer or all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored and all the members rejoice with it. A church is meant to come together and to have joy and to come together and have peace and to love one another and have fellowship with one another. Hebrews 10, 34. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in yourselves a better and an enduring substance. Okay. That's it. You're going to get out 2 minutes early. Now, you better sit and think about things seriously. And you better start to realize that growing up never stops as long as Christ is in you. And you better not run away from trouble. You better learn up, stand up against it. How are you supposed to treat it? Forgetting those things that are behind, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget about it. Do you hear me mention any names? You know why I don't have to name any names or do anything of that such stuff? I've been in it all my life. I've watched people in church that were close people, that were real close, and I've watched churches disintegrate and come apart in the middle. This church that Patrick went up to, that's what happened to it. You know why it happened to it? When I went up there many years ago and preached 2 or 3 revivals for them, man, they were going great guns. Now they're down to 48. Well, they need somebody up there to teach them. Did you get in this to play games and put numbers up on a board and count that as being your spirituality? Or did you determine that you were going to serve God no matter how many people came? That's it. And now I have hit my time limit. Yeah, let me get back there. And